Well, as always, Mr. Ebling, thank you so much for taking some time today and joining us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Jalen. Good morning.
And I'd like to talk about the school board meeting a little bit this week. Two new board members came on board, and of course, Katie Peterson reelected to the board. And just sort of your opening thoughts as the new board convened and made their first moves.
Right. You know, it seems like a well-intentioned board, and I feel very good about the board we have. Obviously, we left some very good board members into retirement this week, but I feel like we've got some new people that have some new ideas and some things that will definitely help the district. So the board will just kind of take time now to figure out who they are, what they do, kind of how they act and function together. And with that, that'll really help us to then move many things forward in the district.
I know a lot of discussion was had about sort of the way the structure of this board is going to work and the format of the meetings and that sort of thing. And what sense do you get of how things are going to work moving forward?
You know, this board appears to be a board that wants to learn and find out what moves around the board table the board needs to do to be a high-functioning board. With that, I think we are planning on now actually having a work session each month instead of two regular meetings. We'll have one work session that will dig deeper into some topic, learn more about something. There's all kinds of options for the board and different directions it could go. So that will be one of the meetings, and then the second meeting will be more of a regular board meeting with action items and information and so on. So that's going to feel a little bit different, because typically Pella had been used to two regular meetings a month, and now we're going to go more to a work session and a regular meeting format.
And so on those work sessions, we're looking less at, you know, standard items, paying bills and that sort of thing, and as you said, more sort of digging into issues that affect the district?
Right. You know, there's some learning that the board can do through training through the Iowa School Board Association and really talk about how really high-functioning boards work. So we'll look at some of that information and find out what are some of the things that boards can do to help them be the most effective they can be. So that'll be some of the digging in deeper, but then there'll just be other topics that are timely for the year. School finance will be one of the things we talk about. I'm sure facilities, I'm sure technology. I'm sure there'll be many other topics that will be just kind of time of the year specific. So those give us that opportunity. Obviously, all new programs that the district's been looking at implementing, it will really give us a lot of options to talk and dig deeper into that information, as opposed to just kind of doing a surface 5, 10, 15-minute discussion during the board meeting.
So a high-functioning board is a term that I've heard a couple of times, and I assume that means a board that is more sort of proactive in getting with administration, getting with teachers to develop new ideas, instead of a board that's more sort of passive and just lets things happen as they happen.
Right. Really, that high-functioning term comes from boards that really ask the right questions of staff and think about and know what are the right questions to ask to feel like the programs or projects or whatever are moving forward the way they need to. Boards can very easily get into, okay, I'm given a recommendation, I accept the recommendation. I'm given another recommendation, I accept the recommendation. And that feels very much like it's very dependent just on the recommendations they're given. So I think boards that ask the right questions, boards that then kind of ensure that the system really has some processes that are solid in place and are working to improve, I think really end up making a huge impact on the district. So that's where we're headed, trying to move that board. And because they're all very new, you know, with the exception of Joan Corbin, everybody has 2 years or less of experience. So that will be a board that kind of can figure out how it functions with each other, because right now I don't think they even know what strengths each of them have that they'll bring to the table. So those are all the things that the board will learn, and interfacing with staff more directly. I like to bring teachers in, have teachers and board members actually have that interface. So looking at different ways to do that is going to be important.
Okay, and as you said, a lot of opportunities for the board to learn.
It is. It really is.
And another issue that we wanted to talk about is the issue of a lot of states looking for waivers for the No Child Left Behind Act, the federal law for education. And I just would like your sort of opinion on that. Is it a good idea to try to get a waiver and try to find different ways to work with these laws? Or what do you think?
Right. You know, I know I heard Arne Duncan speak this summer and he said that he was going to try to grant as much flexibility under No Child Left Behind as he possibly could. He is the Secretary of Education for the U.S. Department of Ed, and his intent is that while it's taking forever to reauthorize No Child Left Behind, and so the legislators are kind of in gridlock around that issue right now, the hope is that the USDE will be able to give us some flexibility. So basically, Jason Glass, the Iowa director of the Department of Ed, has said that he is going to be applying for a waiver. And what a waiver really means is to grant more flexibility under that law. We've always wanted No Child Left Behind to have more focus on growth and less just on a strict accountability number, because sometimes students cannot be what people call proficient, but still making great strides towards improvement. So we haven't gotten any credit or very little credit for growth of students. So I know there's that discussion. I really think it makes sense. Under the way the current law is written, it's just a matter of time before really all school districts are in some kind of a sanction or some kind of a deficiency under the law. So it's kind of just a train wreck waiting to happen. It's kind of a slow motion train wreck, but I think that a waiver makes a lot of sense, and I really would support, you know, our state going for that waiver.
And looking in, flexibility seems to be the key word there. Looking at No Child Left Behind sort of as it stands, it's very sort of rigidly defined, very black and white in use of numbers for what things mean. And so will flexibility mean a closer look at some of the qualitative measures of student growth and student achievement?
You know, they've looked at actually being able to have multiple assessments in addition to the ones we've traditionally been held to. That would create some flexibility, that's for sure. You know, how that waiver looks is going to be a big question, I guess, right now in my mind, because some school districts have very little hard second assessments that they can use. So what's going to be our options there? Do we create our own assessments, end-of-course assessments? Do we look for a different product altogether than Iowa Tests? Will Iowa Tests be part of that? I'm not sure. And so I think the flexibility, my hope is that is going to be more around the sanctions and those types of things, because that's really what's caused some challenges for districts to be sanctioned, to create the changes, and still in the end have a really difficult time making that growth that's needed. So we'll see where that goes. You know, until we get any more details around that, it's kind of hard to, you know, pass judgment on it, that's for sure. But I would think that something different than what we're currently doing would sure make a lot of sense.
All right, good. And something that we'll be paying a lot of attention to moving forward is a pretty big deal.
It is. It really is. There's certainly a lot of discussion about education reform right now, and I know the governor's office and the Department of Ed are going to release the state's educational reform plan, you know, on October 3rd. And so that plan will kind of set some wheels in motion in Iowa that probably for some significant changes coming down the road. So it'll be interesting.
All right, very good. Well, again, Mr. Ebling, thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, Shailen.